1975 to 1987, the Kerry football team reigned supreme. 8 championship wins and countless other honours were achieved in an era unlikely to be matched. Managed by Mick O'Dwyer and players such as Mikey Sheehy, Paddy O'Shea, Ogie Moore and Gerard Power, the Bomber Liston and Pat Spillane were among the players that made the cut. This truly was the greatest football team ever to step foot in Croke Park. Mikey Sheehy of the Austin Stacks Club in Tralee has been described as the greatest stylist forward that the Gaelic Games has ever seen. A winner of 8 Senior All-Ireland medals, 1975, 78, 79, 80, 81, 84, 85 and 86, he truly was a legend.
75 I think it was, as I said, it was a special day. Your first one was always going to be special, you know, and it was funny that year because we were all, like, I think there was about 6 of the team we were on under 21 and we played the under 21 at Ireland about 2 weeks later. So we were all, there was from 1 to 15 that day, there was 15 bachelors played that day and that was a famous thing that was, and the media kind of latched onto it, you know. And somebody said to me, I remember when we arrived into Croke Park, Kerry had the minor team there as well. And there was some fella there and he made a comment and the two teams were going in, the minors had gone in before us. Some dope, of course, we had dope. He said, Jesus, there's two minor teams after coming from Kerry, like, because we were very young looking, you know, at the time. So it was funny, you know.
And the Dublin followers, numbed into silence by the brilliance, the absolute brilliance of a Kerry team who outmaneuvered and outsped this Dublin team of champions. The youngest team ever to come out of Kerry won this All-Ireland, this team of bachelors.
When I took over in 75, I decided, well, it would be about time for me to get a young side in. So I just gambled and we selected, I think we had something like 10 of the under-21 team of 74 on that panel.
I think in any sport, be it soccer, rugby, anything, I think he's up there with the best managers of all time, you know, because, you know, he brought us to such a level. I mean, he took us over in 1975. He was with us until I retired in 87. And, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do, to keep players going and to motivate them for such a long time. But he was just, you know, to me, he was a step above everybody else. And he was tough, you could be sure, but he was tough. And he had to be. Well, before the game, he was, you know, he we'd have most of our talking done before the game anyway, in the training sessions. And you know, particularly if we were playing in an All-Ireland semi-final in Dublin, we'd go away for a walk on the Saturday night with him and just him. And all the panel, and we'd have a chat, and, you know, we'd go through, we'd have most things covered. So before the game, he'd say very little, you know, he'd just kind of jig you up a little bit, you know, and everything was covered. But, I mean, depending on how you were doing at half-time, if you were playing well, again, he'd bring you back down to earth, and he'd say, lads, we're starting from scratch again, 'tis nil all for the second half, you know, got to do. And I think that was special. But the one thing that I admired about the guy was that he was a very good communicator with players. You know, he spoke to players individually and he'd tell you, you know, if you're in good shape or you need to do this, go out for a few runs, go out practicing a few frees. You know, he was very good and, you know, as I said to you, I think he's, you know, I mean, his enthusiasm for the game is absolutely unreal, that he's still above training teams and he's nearly 70 years of age. And I think if he lives till he's 170, he'd be still training teams. He was last to care. I think he should have been involved in something else, you know, within the county. Maybe, you know, put him involved, in charge of underage football or something like that. You know, I think he's an awful, you know, he's an awful ass to carry. And I still would long for the day. I'd love to see him back. I'm not saying training the senior team, but in some capacity within the county again, you know. Another thing as well, I think that the hierarchy of the GAA, I think it's very disappointing that he was never offered the job to manage this Irish, you know, the compromise rules, you know, and he wasn't, and he should be, he deserves that, you know. I enjoyed playing with both, you know. I think I won my first major honour with the Stacks in 73. Don't that sound so long ago? And it was the first championship the Stacks would have won since, I think, in 37 years. And it was, you know, like I was actually the youngest player on the Stacks team at the time, and, you know, it was a fantastic feeling. And then I progressed onto the Kerry team, I think, the following year, 74. But really, you know, tis hard. I suppose we won the All-Ireland Club then with Stacks in 1977, which was a fantastic achievement. And I suppose, you know, when you're kind of, you know, you're probably closer to the club players than the county team, although I would say that our county team, eventually, you know, we played so long that we ended up like a club team. And we had fierce, fierce camaraderie, you know, so it's very, very hard to differentiate. The only thing is, I'd say, is that, you know, I enjoyed it 200% playing with both, you know.
I'm very pleased, I must say, and the opposition was right too.
We broke the hoodoo now, and so much for history. We won today.
No, I don't care if I never win another bloody match. I'm happy now.
In 1977, we were beaten by Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final, and Mick O'Dwyer was very nearly sacked as manager that year, yeah, after that defeat. There was calls at the county board to get rid of him, which was crazy, like, can you imagine it? And it just shows you, like, and one, I often shudder to think that had the county board, certain members in the county board, got their way, like, what would have happened to that team? That team would have been disbanded. It would have been chopped and changed, I would say. But he was within a whisker of being sacked. You know, and he survived. And then we were beaten again in our set up 77, had been beaten in 76. But I think it was very good experience for us. And I think you know, I could sense in 76 that there was a little bit of cockiness got into the team. Here was 15 bachelors, went up in 75, and we weren't really given a great chance of beating Dublin. Went out and played well, won the game. And I think in 76 we were a little bit cocky. You know, and 77, then we were really brought down to earth. So I'd say, you know, looking at the overall picture, then we came back and we won four in a row and were unlucky not to win five, and then won the other three after that. So, you know, I think it was very good experience for us to be beaten in those two games, even though it's never nice at the time, but I think you have to lose to win as well, you know. We won the All-Ireland Club then with Stacks in 1977, which was a fantastic achievement. Brilliant occasion, you know, again, because you're playing with guys that you grew up with, you know, and that you were at school with, and, you know, and it was a fantastic occasion here in the club, you know. We beat Portlaoise in the All-Ireland semi-final above in Portlaoise. There was a couple of trains left the town, you know, and the same then for the final in Croke Park. And it was great to see the black and amber and the club. And it was an absolutely brilliant occasion. And sure, Jesus, there wasn't work done around, I'd say, around the Stacks for 2 weeks after that. It was a fantastic occasion. Brilliant. I don't mean to be disrespectful to the league, but we didn't, you know, Mikko, you know, his plan was September, that was it always. And if we won the league, so be it, you know. But, you know, he never went out to lose again. But I would say there was a lot of times when we were training, and we were training very hard right up to a league final, you know, and he didn't care. You know, he said, look, if we win, we win. No, he wouldn't say that publicly, or he wouldn't even say it to us. But he was never going to. He had a plan, and the plan was beat Cork in the Munster final, get on, then win your semi-final, and win the All-Ireland. And if you won the league in the way, that was fine. But, I mean, it wasn't priority. It was nice to win them as well, you know.
During his career, he annually had the highest scoring average of any inter-county footballer. And when playing with Austin Stacks, he was a match winner time and time again. He had a unique, exciting talent rarely seen on a Gaelic football field. He was a great reader of the game. No matter how closely marked, he had that uncanny ability of being in the right place at the right time. And from player frees, he was deadly accurate with both left and right feet. One famous goal he scored against Dublin goalie Paddy Cullen in the 1978 All-Ireland final will be discussed forevermore in GAA history. A goal that will forever assure him a place in the folklore of Gaelic games.
It was 5 points to one at one stage, and I remember well at one stage saying to the selectors alongside me, yeah, we're in for a right hammering today. And, you know, Dublin really committed themselves to it, and they left a big space at the back. And I think if I can remember rightly, it was one ball was put through and John Egan got in. That was a changing point. That was the first goal. A lot of people will seem to say that Mikey Sheehy's goal was the one that changed it, but I don't think so. It was the first goal that John Egan got, brought us back into the game, you know. And after that, then we just went on to play fantastic football in that final. And I think we gained that confidence as the game went on.
Jack O'Shea. Shoulder to shoulder. Oh, a lovely ball, a real attacking ball. It's deflected out, and it's gone very near the end line. Paddy Cullen going out for it. And Paddy Cullen. Oh dear, oh dear. Paddy Cullen, a jug. Oh, a goal in the greatest break of all time. Here it is again. Nobody was expecting the ball to be kicked.
That bloody goal, biggest mistake of my life. As I said to Paddy, I was up at the Dublin game this year, and it was so funny. I was with my brother-in-law, we were inside in one of the corporate boxes, it was the Guinness box, and who's inside in front of me? And Paddy, so we had great banter all together about the goal. It was just something that happened. You know, it wasn't planned. It just one of those things, as Mihal here, I think, called it a freak goal. It was a freak. It, number one, it wasn't a free. It shouldn't have been, because I wasn't involved. It was Ger Power and Paddy Cullen. There was no free involved, and Paddy was arguing, and Robbie Keller handed me the ball, and next thing there was a gap, and the rest, as I say, is history. Went in, and as I often say, if I missed it, the wire would probably have shot me, because we were inside the dressing room at half time, and he never said anything much about it. I could see he was looking over, and he was kind of mickling off, like rubbing his nose like that. And we were up by 2 points or whatever it was. And I'd say all he was thinking was, Jesus, if you missed it, why didn't you take the free? You know, why didn't you tap it over? So, look, those things happen. And, you know, it's probably, you know, I'd say if I got a cent, as they call it now, to be a penny years ago, a cent for every time I'm asked about that goal, I'd tell you I'd be out in the Bahamas or somewhere. I'm telling you, everywhere I go, that goal, the first thing I'd fell say, this Mike, yeah. What about that goal? Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's funny everywhere, you know. But it was just, as I said, something that happened. And I don't know whether it was courage or madness. Well, you people can say it was courage now, you see, when I went in. If I missed it, I'd say he was mad. What was he trying to do? Look, I don't know. Other people might have tried it as well. But look, I was lucky enough that I don't know what made me try it. But I just did. And that was it, you know.
From being nowhere, they were nowhere halfway through that first half. Dublin were giving an exhibition, and here's Ogie, the star of Gormanston College some years ago, the lad who was a mascot back in 1960,
a 4-year-old kid,
and here he is receiving from Con Murphy the coveted Sam Maguire Cup.
August Tá Craven the Hearn Harná Shagiri. Agus tá sé don honor a gom anois an carn a bhronna ar dunacha Ógaí Mórn.
Na bhíon uisil agus a cair de gwaim. Dá an áhás orm an carn seo ag lacha ar son fern agus winter cirí. I'd like to say a special word of thanks to one man. Oh, I don't know how we're going to thank him. You know, he's done everything for us. He's left home every evening at 5 o'clock and doesn't get home till 11. And he runs a thriving business down in Waterfield. I don't know how he manages, but he never leaves us down. I'd like to say a special word of thanks to Mico Dwyer.
It was a foul by Paddy Cullen. Paddy seemed to be in possession, and Ger Power came in and tackled him. And we were fortunate enough to get the free, and Paddy seemed to be arguing with the referee, and I just had one look up, and there was the line was unguarded, so I had a go, and I was just lucky enough it went in.
People were saying, you know, that Dublin were caught out in 75. Well, I think today we proved that we're a good side, even if we're not a bit better.
Today was an important game, a very important game for us, because we decided that we had to win this one. We won the All-Ireland in 75, we were beaten in 76, and we had to regain lost prestige, let me put it that way, against Dublin. And we were fully determined going out in the field today that we would do that, and I think that we did it.
Yes, I can understand Kerry's viewpoint, but we were equally determined to win today, and the result now stands, and it's only history now. And sure, we'll see what happens. If we can get a good run in the championship, we might be able to reverse the situation sometime later on this year.
I played against a lot of very good players, like, and most of them are very tough, you know. Any guy that plays inter-county football or any good club players, they're all, you know, I mean, they all have a job to do and they're all good. But there was one player I always said that stood out. Kevin Moran would have been his name. He played soccer with Manchester United after that. He played with Dublin. He was centre-half-back. And I marked him, and he was an exceptionally good player. He only played with Dublin for maybe 4 or 5 years, but I think had he stayed around, you know, he probably would have been one of the best players of all time. You know, as it was, he would be rated very highly, and he only played for maybe 4 or 5 years. But to me, he was an extremely difficult opponent. Yeah. The celebrations were fantastic. Like, I mean, don't you know, like, you see, just totally, like, it is funny when I tell people about this. In those days, it was different to now totally. There was a kind of a Sunday game thing would be on, and somebody would be picked man of the match. I got man of the match actually in the 79 one, and I'll never forget it. We used to all kind of meet up with our families, and groups of us would go away. We used to usually go up to the Cat and Cage pub there up in Drumcondra, the Cat and Cage, the Ivy House, and go over to the Skyline maybe. And we were always staying in Malahide. And I can remember the 79 one. And we were drinking away, of course. And then we used to end up outside in Malahide at maybe 12 o'clock. There was no such thing as a kind of a sit-down meal. And of course, you were tired. And of course, you'd get jarred easily. Next thing, anyway, some fella that were looking for me, they came looking for me anyway, to know what I go to RT, I got men of the match. I didn't want to go out at all, because I said to myself, I'm half-steamed. And I always remember being asked a few questions and saying, holy Jesus, what am I saying here? That's a fact. It was totally disorganised. You could ask Grania. It was, you know, totally different to now, and it's actually way better for guys now. You know, in Croke Park, you see nowadays, they can go upstairs and they have a special place for the players, both teams. They can have a couple of jars. They're brought in out to whatever hotel they're staying, and the Sunday game is broadcast from there, you know, so it's way better. But we were totally disorganised, you know. Fellas went off and did their own thing, and the same thing the following day. So it was, but still, it was very enjoyable. Like, the best feeling of the whole lot was actually when you woke up on the Monday morning, and like, you probably wouldn't have been in bed that long anyway, and you had a nice hangover, which was always a nice hangover when you won. It was a great feeling. You'd hop out of the bed. Whereas, Jesus, if you were beat, I could remember waking up in 82 and said, oh, Jesus Christ, this is like a bad dream. This can't be after happening. But sure, that's life, you know. We used to stop in Mallow, and we used to stop then, obviously, in Rathmore. But it was great, particularly, like, you know, when you won, obviously. But it was not, there was good banter with the Cork people. And, you know, I mean, they're deadly rivals with Kerry. But I think at the end of the day, you know, when we got out and we were kind of representing Munster. Now, obviously, a lot of Cork people would be kind of anti us as well, but you know, they pretended anyway. But it was always nice to get a reception in Mallow, I would have to say that, yeah. Brilliant, absolutely, it was great. You know, it was great to come to Killarney first, and then you came into Tralee, and, you know, it was great, and to come up the Rock, you know, it was fantastic. There were special moments, you know, and I, you know, like, even up to today, you'd be envious of the present-day players, you know, when they win, you know, because it's a fantastic feeling.
1978, 79, 80 and 81 were the years of the great four in a row, a title which I think will never be broken, a title which many think should have been a five in a row, but it wasn't meant to be for this amazing side. I asked Mikey Sheehy on his recollection of this time and the heartache of missing a penalty in that crucial All-Ireland final in 1982, which shattered their dreams of the infamous five in a row.
I think that either Offaly or Down coming through really will be underdogs, very severe underdogs indeed, against this Kerry side, because they really are a magnificent side.
John Egan across to the far side, and it comes to Mikey Sheehy. Mikey to Jack O'Shea, and Jackie Wang, and not even Martin Furlong could save that one. And there goes the final whistle, and Kerry have done it. Kerry have won four All-Irelands in a row. They've won their 27th All-Ireland in all. They truly are the kingdom of football. And there it is, the Sam Maguire going to Kerry once again.
Jimmy Deanan in bringing the cup to Kerry for a fourth successive year.
I think that I'd just like to pay tribute to a great team, and I think their dedication is an example to all athletes in Gaelic football in this country.
Joe Powell racing for the ball over here with Liam Collins, and Joe getting the better of it. And now Liam coming after him. John Egan is inside. Coming across to the far side. And out now comes Martin Furlong. That's Pat Spillane. And there is a penalty. Or is there? No, the referee waved the play on. Now he's given the penalty.
Mikey Sheehy, the anxiety, the importance of this kick.
Five in a row they're bidding for. Mikey Sheehy to take the kick. Martin Furlong in the goal. He saved it. And he's got it out to Pat Fitzgerald. Oh, Martin, what a save.
I tell you something now. And that's another thing. This is true. Is a lot of people would ask me, right, you know, about, you know, what, you know, particularly when I retired, you know, what are your memories, you know, and that would be one of the memories. And I can still remember that and still often think about it. It's funny, you know, because it was very funny. I scored a penalty in 79, you know. Would have missed a couple of penalties in Munster finals. And, you know, a lot of people were saying that in the 82, that game, like, it was a crucial period in the game. About 10, 15 minutes to go. We were 4 points ahead. If I had scored it, the game was over. And you know, fellas were saying then after, and they said, why the frig did you take the penalty? Why didn't somebody else take it, you see? And it was funny, when we were in training, Mikko would always say, you know, coming up to a game, you're... He'd say, Mikey, practice a few penalties. And any more of the lads there do you want to take? And then all the boys, all the rest of the forwards were all great volunteers, right? But on that particular day, when the penalty was given, right? Who was the ball thrown to? Joe Soap here. And I'll tell you something, there wasn't too many volunteers, there were all the rest of the guys, you know, and I often laugh about it and we slag about it, you know. And they'd all, of course, they'd all say no, or even see, a couple of weeks after the game, Phil said, well, I'd have taken it, they wouldn't, their arse. Every one of them turned their backsides, didn't give it to me. But unfortunately, I didn't score. But tis a thing, and myself and Martin Furlong, the goalie for Offaly, you know, and he's a fierce, nice guy, you know, we'd often talk, but he's in the States now, and I've often met him and discussed it, you know, and in fairness to him, he read it. You know, I didn't think it was a particularly good, well-struck penalty, but it was a wet day, and anything could have happened, and he saved it, and the rest is history, as they say, unfortunately.
And here they come. This is Liam Connor, the fullback. A high, lobbing, dropping ball in towards the goal. A shot. A goal for Offaly. There was a goal in the game. A goal. Oh, what a goal. And Offaly lead in the dying moments. And there goes the Samuel Ware Cup, high in the hands of the captain of the Offaly team, Richie Connor.
That was going up, we always heard of a Kerry finish in a football match, and we had a Kerry finish today, all right, but it wasn't from Kerry, and that's the way to win it, you know, but, well,
you won it the hard way.
We did, we never gave up, and we epitomised what Offaly football stands for.
I think today that Kerry and Offaly have done an awful lot of good for football in this country. This football final today was badly needed, and it is something that we haven't seen for many years, and it took two great counties in Offaly and Kerry to provide it.
After the disappointment of missing out in a five in a row, how, you might ask, could a team come back to win yet another three All-Ireland titles in 1984, 85 and 86?
We did. Well, I felt very sorry for the team, I suppose, more than the supporters, because I think the supporters had good times out of us. I just felt that team was a good team and deserved to make history. But then, having said that, that team then went along and won. We were beaten in the 82 All-Ireland final. We were beaten then above in Cork in 83 with a last-minute goal again, right? Jesus, it was like a repeat of the 82. But funny enough, that day in the dressing room, there wasn't any great disappointment that day, because nothing could compare with the shock of the previous year. Like, so I think we were really tuned in for it. But I think it was a fantastic achievement to come back then and win three more. We won 84, 85 and 86. And I don't think that there is any way that if we had won the five in a row, there's no way we'd have won the other three. We might have won one, maybe. But, you know, so, you know, it did definitely compensate to a degree for the five in a row. But, I mean, the five in a row is a kind of a history thing. And I think, as I said to you, I think that team probably deserved to make that history, you know.
Should have had the five maybe in 80, 81 maybe, you know. But that's, I mean, we don't worry. I don't think our fellas think about records. They enjoy playing the game, and I think that's the most important thing of all. If you watch Mikey Sheehan, John Power and Pat Spillane, Paddy Shea and Ogie, they're the five elders of the team. Those players never think about records. They're playing the game, I think, because they're getting great enjoyment out of it. And, you know, they're more relaxed now, and that's the reason. And we got together after the All-Ireland final in September of 83, and we made a decision that we'd have one more run at it, you know. And we started training in October that year for the All-Ireland of them. And we won the National League that year, and we won the championship. So it's amazing that they did come back and came back so well, and we won that championship pretty easily. But it's unbelievable the amount of work that we put into winning that.
85 and 76 were special, but they're all special. The first one was in 75, and we won the first one. And the last one was in 86, because I kind of felt, you know, I had a fair idea myself that it was going to be possibly my last one anyway, you know, because I was picking up injuries and I had a few, you know, the legs were slowing up and things like that. And I think, yeah, 75 and 76 were special. But 79, I got man of the match, you know, I suppose I got 2-6 that day. And I'd said that probably would have been, you know, a day that things went, nearly everything went right for me. And I scored 2-6, which at the time, I didn't realise it. And, you know, people were saying after the game, it was a record score. Well, it was the same as Jimmy Keaveney scored. But you don't think of those things when you're playing. And actually, we were in total control of the game, like with 5-10 minutes to go. And I genuinely could have got another couple of points if I wanted it, because we were just only kind of, I won't say we were messing, like, but, and I hit the crossbar as well the same day with a shot. So, you know, but I mean, you don't think about records, you know, but that day, everything went well except the one that hit the crossbar.
Bobby Doyle is doing his usual wandering in centre field, and John O'Keefe is wandering after him. And up they go for that. Oh, what a crashing goal! referee giving a free to Paddy Lynch for being the man of possession and held in possession. Oh, a lovely high ball. Oh, Liston's got it in front of the goal. Out comes to Paddy Cullen, and the ball has hit the side, but the referee has called for the ball, and it is a penalty. And there is the reason why. Mikey Sheehy to take it, and here's the kick. And it's a goal! A goal for Kerry, a goal for Mikey Sheehy! Oh, look at the Kerry men, they're playing ducks and drakes. And King Duck and Drake is Mikey Sheehy. Another point for this arch score getter. What a lovely footballer. Here it is again, the blocked down shot there, blocked down by Paddy Cullen. Pat O'Neill getting it out. Lovely pass there by Owen Liston in to Mikey Sheehy and over the bar. And there is the Sam Maguire Cup. And it is exactly 50 years ago since a Kerry man first took this Sam Maguire Cup in 1929. It was Joe Barrett in those days. In 1979, it's Tim Kennelly. And there's Tim, obviously moved as the leader of this truly great team.
Tambue and Muncher Kiri.
To the stall. And what a race meeting they're going to have there.
There was a good standard of football being played by both counties, and there was a lot of thought being put into the game. And I think that's the most important thing of all, so long as the standard is high and good. And I think the two teams approached it in a professional manner and worked hard with their players, and I think it was a great game.
That was the biggest disappointment of my life, you know, because I had been carrying an injury, but I was getting by. I was taking injections, and it was an Achilles tendon injury. I had it all year, and I wasn't able to do a lot of training, but I was keeping myself in good shape. I was cycling and that, and I was spent hours out in Banna walking in the water, but it was so funny. I played in the All-Ireland semi-final against Galway with an injection. I got a shot. I had to go to Dublin and get an injection. And what happened, I'd say, it cured my tendon, but actually we were training then for the All-Ireland final, and I was doing very little training. In fairness to Mikko, he was very good, and he said, look, you don't need to do much, look, you know, just watch yourself. And the week before the All-Ireland final, we were having a bit of a game in Killarney. I was tugged out, and it was a Saturday evening, it was a Saturday week before it, and I said to him, I said, Mikko, look, I want to try it. And he says, are you sure? And I said, I do. He says, why don't you let it go till during the week? I said, no, I want to try it. So I was playing, and I'd say, the game wasn't on 10 minutes. Jesus, I went around for a ball with Mick Spillane and sprinted, and I tore all the fibres in my calf. It was only kind of, the injection was only moving the pain, I'd say, you know. I tore everything down my calf, and sure, I was carried off, and I was crippled for the week, and I was getting intensive physio. And in fairness to Mick O'Dwyer, he said, I'll give you until as long as you want. And I always remember, you know, my mother, poor mother, and she's still alive, and she's a fierce religious woman. She was Lord's Waters. There was medals. I was kneeling down by the bed at night. I was expecting to wake up in the morning, it was going to be fine. I swear to God, right? So I went over to the training on the Tuesday and the Thursday night, and I couldn't. I was limping even, you know, and I should really have nearly had my crutches, and I threw away the crutches, and I was hobbling along, and I used to go, as I said, you out to Banna. And next thing, on the Saturday then, we were meeting up in Killarney, and I got up early on Saturday morning. I was still, of course, praying, and it was in shite still. It was only worse it was getting. There was no improvement whatsoever. So I remember ringing Mick O'Dwyer. I'd say I rang him about 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. I said, look, you know, because, you know, I felt that whoever was coming on would want to know that day. So I said, look, Mick, I'm gone, you know. So that was it. But it was a fierce disappointment. And Dara O'Shea, now, in fairness, I'd be very friendly with Dara because he works quite close to where I work in Denny Street, and we often go for coffee, but I felt very, very sorry for him this year, you know, missing the All-Ireland final, you know. And you know, even though you're there, you're part of the panel for the weekend, you're really only, you know, you feel totally out of place, you know, because people are slapping you on the back, man, but there's nothing can compare with being out in the field, you know. You're just kind of, you know, and Dara kind of said to me the same, you know, you're thrilled for the players and everything, you're absolutely delighted, but you really just want to get out of there and go away home and let them do the celebrating. They did the business on the day, even though you were part of it up to then, but it was a major disappointment, but that's life. I still miss it, would you believe that, now that I'm 50 years of age, and I haven't played since 1988, I suppose, because my old knee packed in. But, you know, I do. I miss it when I see the big games and you see the build-up to the games and you meet the lads. Now, I'd be friendly with a lot of the present-day players. I'd know them well, you know, and meet them on a regular basis. And they're lovely, lovely young fellas. And, you know, you'd be very envious of them, you know. You'd be trying to, particularly then when you see Croke Park. I mean, it's such a fantastic stadium now, you know. And you said, geez, you'd love to play there, you know. But sure, that's it. 88 was when I retired. I was, you know, it was... I suppose in one sense it was kind of a relief to me, really, because I knew I wasn't right. And I think it was the man above made a decision for me, because my left knee was giving me dreadful trouble, and it still does. But my right knee, I damaged it. I tore my crusade ligament in it. So I think, you know, and I think it was the man above just telling me, lay down and just get out of it. And it was kind of relief, you know, when I was told. I went in, I damaged it on Easter Sunday playing with the club, and I knew I was in serious trouble. And I went in for a scan, I think, on the Tuesday, and the surgeon just said to me, he said, look, pack it in, he says, you've enough done now. And I kind of, you know, reluctantly, I didn't do anything for maybe about a week, and then I discussed it with Grania, and she said, look, do what you want to do, but it would have meant me having an operation. I would have been out for the year. There was no way I would have been fit to play the following year, so I just said, no, pack it in. But the one thing that I regretted was that I wasn't able to come back and play a bit of club football, you know. I would have loved to play another bit of club football, but unfortunately I wasn't able, you know. Would you believe this now? I didn't realise it until after the game, and my second fella, Dave, texted me and he says, I bet you're delighted. He said that the Gooch has broken your record. Well, it isn't the record. And I didn't know what he was on about. And I rang him. He says, you were the last Kerry player to score a goal in the Ireland final. And I hadn't realised it. Yeah, and such as I was delighted. Couldn't happen a nicer fella. He's some player. Again, going back to what I was saying about the training, you know, and the physical training, he doesn't need that type of stuff because he's so elusive, you know. He's such a brilliant player. He's such great balance, you know. I mean, you couldn't get near him no matter what you try to do to him. And I've never seen him end up on the ground. He's, you know, as Charlie Nelligan said to me one day, Gooch, he said, he's like a cat. He rolls. If he's hit, he just balls. He rolls. He's up again. You know, you couldn't. And he's, like, I mean, you can coach the talent that he's got. That's just natural ability. And that comes from training himself as well, you know. He's, like, Gooch lives with a ball, you know. And that, it does pay off. And he's just fantastic. And we're lucky to have him. And that's the one good thing about Kerry. Kerry can do that year in, year out. They can bring in guys that'll be good defenders, midfielders, and they'll have good attackers, you know. And that's why I think that Kerry are a little step up above everybody else. The Gooch is the next Gooch, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you straight out. He's his own man, he's something else. He's for 21 years of age, you know, that's all he is. And he's a special talent. And, you know, you'd love going and watching him because he was playing with us this year in the under-21s. I was involved in the management. And unfortunately, he was injured for the game against Cork in the Munster final. And if we had him, I have no doubt in my mind that we would have won the All-Ireland. You know, all we wanted was for 20 minutes, you know. We should have beaten Cork as it was, but if we had him, I'd no doubt that we'd have given it a good rattle anyway. You know, I think he's an exceptional talent, you know. Oh, legend, mother of Jesus. It's only just a name. I'll tell you, you know, I don't know, it's hard. Like, I'll be truthful with you, just like that, I just enjoyed every minute of playing football with both the club and the county. And, you know, I just feel that I was very lucky. And then I was part of a great team. There was a great bunch of players there, you know. And I'd say I was lucky and on certain occasions that I was in the inside line, I will say, the firing line, the fellas that were supposed to be shooting. But most of the work was done by other fellas, you know. And always, you see, tis the thing, I suppose, is when you're playing as a forward, particularly as a corner forward or inside in the full forward line, is that you have a better chance of scoring than a fella at the back. So the forwards nearly always get the limelight. So maybe that's why it's a... But I must say I enjoyed every minute of it. We're still friends. We still meet up, and, you know, we were out in the pitch last year now for what team was it? Was it the 79 team, I think? Was it 25 years? And we had a good old weekend together. And it's good. We often meet up, you know. You know, maybe not as often as we'd like. But you see, we'd be, you know... A lot of us around Tralee, you know, there's, you know, Ger Power, John O'Keefe, Ger O'Keefe, Shawnee Walsh, the Bomber, Ogie Moran. So we'd often, particularly around, you know, Christmas time, the festivities, we'd always kind of have an all night out and duck out together, you know, the odd time. It's amazing still that people would still kind of recognise you, you know, you would be amazed. And that's nice, you know, I always think it's a nice thing, you know, to be still acknowledged and recognised. Yeah, you would. Yeah. And sometimes when you go away, you know, if you're up the country somewhere and people would, you know, and to still, even though people say, I always enjoy it, or if you're inside in a bar and somebody comes over and has a chat, it's always nice. I was a selector for the minors, 94. I'm involved with the under-21s, but I would never, I think it's a very, very difficult job now. You know, I think it's like a full-time job. I think the only people really that can do it are people that are working for themselves, mainly possibly publicans like Mick O'Dwyer and hoteliers and Paddy O'Shea and teachers who seem to have it's a huge work now for guys, you know, and they're only amateurs at the end of the day. But I think it takes a pile of time, and you know, I'm quite happy to be involved in management, but I could never see myself stepping up and taking it over, you know. We saw the world, we were lucky. That's another good thing. I mean, in 1981 we went to Australia. We went on a kind of a world tour. Australia, Hawaii and America. We had a fantastic trip for about 5 weeks. You know, unreal, like. And we were in America several times. So we did, like, I mean, football was good to all of us, that's for sure. You know, so we, and the trips were great. Like, it was a great time to go. We'd go as All-Ireland champions and an All-Star football team would go. And whoever were the hurling All-Ireland champions and a hurling All-Star team. So there was great mingling with the players, you know. And it was the only time that you kind of got an opportunity to have a drink with lads that you played against and that, you know. It was good. And, you know, there was good old banter and good crack. Kerry, they're very good. I think, you know, that they were unfortunate and they were, you know, there was a lot of people very critical of them. You know, they were beaten by Armagh in 2002. They were beaten last year by Tyrone in the All-Ireland semi-final. There was a lot of people criticising them because of the way they played, but I thought they answered their critics in style this year, you know. And I thought they were a breath of fresh air for football this year. I've said it before now, and I don't mean it to be disrespectful to the Armaghs and the Tyrones. I think they're very good teams. They go with a plan, but I do think that they bring a little bit of negativity into the game. Whereas I think this year, I think the Kerry guys went out and they played, and I thought the All Ireland final performance was probably the best All-Ireland performance by an All-Ireland winning team that I've seen since I've stopped playing, or even when we were playing ourselves, you know. It was a breath of fresh air. I think these guys, as I said to you, I think they have their feet in the ground. And I think, you know, I mean, no football team, I think, is it since Cork in 89, I think, and 90, have put two back-to-back. And I think these fellas have a right chance of doing it. And, you know, they have a good management team in charge as well. Jack O'Connor, Gerard O'Keefe and Johnny Cullity, and your man Pat Flanagan, the trainer, they're good, they know their stuff, you know. And I'll tell you one thing, they'll keep those fellas' feet on the ground. It's dreadful at soccer level. Fellas diving, mother of God, you think they're dead. Next thing they're up running around 2 minutes later, you know. But it's a thing that I hope, you know, won't creep into the game, you know. But I suppose, again, you know, I definitely think that the fitness level has gone through the roof, and they're so finely tuned athletes now. They're like professionals, you know. And so maybe it does happen, you know. And of course, going back to the other thing is, there is definitely a problem, I'd say, with the pitch in Croke Park. You know, the slipping and sliding, and a lot of people are complaining about the surface that is quite hard, you know. So that could be a problem as well, you see, you know. But I think the county board, to be fair to them, you know, Sean Welch is you know, any time that the Kerry seniors will win, you know, everything is running. I think they're doing okay. I think, you know, I think it's not an easy job. The biggest problem that they have is when the Kerry seniors are doing well is club matches and fixtures. And it's not easy, you know. You know, they have to change around games. And it's probably unfair on the club guys who are training all year and then a championship game is postponed because Kerry are involved. But, I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, unfortunately, you know. And I say that's the biggest problem the county board have. But to be fair to Sean Walsh, I think he's doing a good job, and he's an able guy. And as I said to you, when Kerry are doing well, the county board are doing well. They would do exactly the same and train exactly the way I did. But as I said to you, I got a great basis from my mother and father. And as I said to you, you know, like what I advise guys now, you can be coached by coaches. Fellas can tell you what to do, this, that and the other thing, but you will learn more on your own. You know, particularly in your developing years, you know, from maybe 10 to 16 or as up to minor level, you know, go way down and train with a ball, and you will learn more on your own than any fellow will tell you. You know, a guy can say, okay, fine, you're a bit weak on your left, or a weak on your right, or you're weak overhead, but you can go down, you will learn more by kicking and practicing. And Jack Nicklaus is a famous golfer. I think he said the more he practiced, the luckier he got, which meant that he got better. The harder you work, you know, the more you're going to get on in life. Same in anything. I used to open the back door, going out, and I used to be lobbing it over that, and then kicking it in between the goals. And it does make a difference. Yeah. You know, because we, that's the only thing myself and the boys would often do, we'd still do it during the summer out the back, we'd put in a small little target with a ball and we'd have shots like golf, we'd say, no, we'll see, you know, and I'd be very disappointed if I still wouldn't beat him. I'm delighted to be able to live to tell the tale and, you know, I enjoy it, you know, I enjoy talking to people. Of course, if we could turn back the clock, the time tunnel, there used to be a thing in television that you could turn back the clock years ago when we were watching it in the black and white days. We might get that, you know, great. Just absolutely privileged and honoured to be involved with those fellas, as I said to you, for such a long time. So I deem myself to be very lucky to be part of a great squad of players, you know.
A very exciting team that always provided good entertainment, that always provided a spectacle whenever they took the field and were always trying to win.
No doubts whatsoever in my mind that they're the greatest team I have ever seen.
The thing that always amazed me about them was their tremendous appetite over the years to stay with the game and to show the same enthusiasm, the same buoyancy year after year. I think that was an extraordinary feat and an extraordinary quality of the team.
They had this incredible dedication to the game that which lasted or is lasting over the years. It's not an easy thing to do to keep up this dedication.
I think their forwards showed a skill level, a combination ability, and I think under pressure they had a very keen sense of when a super effort was necessary, when to raise their game. I think their forwards were the unique part of the team.
What I liked about Kerry was that they changed their style, and Kerry were traditionally a catch and kick team, but they saw the need to change their style, and they did. They adapted to the style, to the hand pass, and they speeded the game up very, very much.
So they brought a new level of fitness, a new level of combination. They used the hand pass to its ultimate, I think, to make the game fast moving, to bring scores, and to bring all the forwards into operation at the same time. Individual play in the forward lines, I think, was almost non-existent.
I think the GAA will be a long time searching for players to replace them. I think they were a credit to Kerry and they were a credit to the game. They played the game at all times, and I could say safely over the 12 years there's none of those players has ever done anything nasty or such on the field. You know, they've gone to play the game all the time in the best of spirit. I think that's what really has stood to us over the years.
Well, I think tradition has a lot to play with it. You know, when we were very young growing up, I think we looked up to the men playing in the green and gold and the O'Connells and the Dwyers, and I think it was always our ambitions as young fellas to try to achieve the same heights, and all you do is practice Gaelic football skills and play the Gaelic football. You don't really get involved in other sports. So I think for that reason Gaelic football in Kerry is secure for years.
I don't think it will ever be possible to get a side like this again in any county, not alone in Kerry. I think they were an example to all the young people of this country. I think they were a credit to Kerry, to the organisation, and to the whole of the country. I thought they were outstanding ambassadors. No matter where they went, all over the globe, they were wonderful ambassadors. A fantastic side, and I've no doubt that their memories will never be forgotten. I think the memories that they have left behind will always be remembered. I think quite a lot of them will retire.
But there were general agreements among followers everywhere that this Kerry team and its manager Mick O'Dwyer had given a new dimension to football, something that in all probability would never again be equaled. Five men went into the record books as holding 8 All-Ireland medals apiece. It was the end of a chapter only, not of the story, because the story of Mikey Sheehy and of Kerry will go on.